And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, one of your hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is the new, mentally fresh LSU Tiger fan, Joe DeLeon.
No. Don't. I am not an LSU Tiger fan. I am wearing the hat because I agreed to and I stand by my bet, okay? I stand by my word. I said I would eat the hat. I tried to eat it earlier. It wasn't a very successful venture because my teeth aren't strong enough to bite through the fabric, but I'm wearing it. I said I would wear this the whole
time. You got soft teeth like a grandpa.
You
probably all
take a bite out of here. Take your hat off and take a bite out of it. Take a bite out of your hat right now.
These are melon hats. By the way, at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning, you'll be able to use a code to save 30% off of your hats if you go over to Melon using the promo code AYS. But LSU fans, do me a favor.
Take me off of this.
Get your screenshot now. Here he is in live living fashion. Joe DeLeon, a man of his word.
I'm telling you right now, this year I'm going to be the most critical of LSU that I have ever been. I'm telling you right now.
Shouldn't you double down?
On what?
On just listening to what your boy says and maybe just actually thinking he might be right.
I know you don't have the defensive tackles to be a top 10 team this year. And I don't think that's a bad or a hot take.
I don't think that's a hot take at all.
No.
We'll talk on that because LSU did miss out on two defensive tackles, but we'll talk about the transfer portal.
Three defensive tackles.
No,
they weren't in on Harmon.
Not really.
Should have been.
No, I mean, Joe went – so here's the thing about the South, okay? When someone in a northern school tries to transfer South, it always gets extremely complicated, very, very complicated from a grades perspective. I'm not going to hurt anybody or say anything negative towards any team if they don't do that. Now, Miami was able to do it. They continue to do it. They find ways to do it. Maybe the NCAA needs to look into that. That's just what I would say. But regardless, we'll talk on the transfer portal. But today, we'll go in on our Auburn deep dive. Not those Tigers, Joe. Not the hat that you're wearing. We're not going in on those Tigers. We're going in on the Auburn Tigers here today on our first deep dive, which was very successful for us and very good. A lot of fans enjoyed our deep dives last year, so we started off again by going to Auburn, Alabama.
I think last year, did we start with Auburn? Did I indirectly end up doing Auburn?
I think we went in the beginning, tried to go like alphabetical order, and then we just went all over the place. Yeah. And remember, we had the bad one, or I had the really bad one. If you remember, I probably should be wearing a Texas Tech hat. I was all in on Texas Tech, and I
blew it. Down on Texas too, which is a lot, you know.
No, I wouldn't. Go back. No, I wasn't. I said I think they go 9-3. But if you're gonna say, and this is the thing, and here is a ramble that I will continue to go on. Let me give an example. We did our coaches rankings right 3 weeks before everybody else in the nation started doing theirs. If you want to know, that's probably why everybody that is copying the Ruffino and Joe show. Sark has only had one 10-win season. And if you see like ESPN, like not Josh Pate, but 247 on three, they're putting him ahead of guys that have had like seven straight years of 10 wins. And I'm not defending Brian Kelly. Mm-hmm. I will say that for Kirby. I would say that for Nick. I'd say it for Harbaugh. I mean, let's be give a little bit of respect before we start putting Sarkisian at two. So I think for me, Joe's like, hey, can he get over that hump? And he did.
Curious how that deep dive goes. But the idea for when we do it this year, the idea, though, as we did last year, going to do about 35 deep dives because we've got plenty of time from now until the start of the college football season.
August 31st.
The rosters are settled as of right now. There's nothing else that can really, really happen from now until then unless kids get arrested or kicked off teams for doing stupid shit.
Right. It's rare. Rosters,
very rare.
Very rare. That's what I was trying to say. You are correct. So we will talk about Auburn tonight. Joe will also talk about the transfer portal, something that we had talked about previously. Joe, Miami continues to get good and continues to be active in the portal. They get Simeon Barrow there. We'll talk about Demonic Williams going to Oklahoma and Harmon and Oregon getting Harmon and Peyton Woodyard.
It is the same teams that consistently win out in the portal windows.
Yep.
It is the same teams. And that's going to be the take later when we get to that segment is we're not surprised that they're gearing up. They're spending the money. They're the three of the teams that are trying to position themselves to compete this year. Oklahoma a little less because they haven't been as sexy of a headline, but Miami and Oregon have been talked about a lot. We have spent a ton of time talking about both programs, and we're going to do again so tonight.
Yeah, and look, you know, I will tell you, it's interesting about Miami. I've said this multiple times. I think it's different because Cristobal had multiple 10-win seasons, right? Like, it's not like he hasn't ever had one. Mm-hmm. I think the bottom line for me, Joe, they have the talent. Like, this is it for him. Like, this is the season. You better make it to the playoff. I mean, you got too much talent not to. And I got to be real with you. It's a little bit for Dan Lanning. And people love Dan. Think Dan's a great coach. So do I. I think Dan's a really good up-and-coming coach. You can't – Joe, we'll talk about their portal haul. Evan Stewart, Dante Moore, Jabbar Muhammad, Jamarie Caldwell, Dylan Gabriel, Derek Harmon, Peyton Woodyard. You can't have that type of class. It's the same with Oklahoma. I mean, same with Ole Miss. So you have Ole Miss at number one, Oregon at number two in the portal. So I we'll get to this. A lot of people putting stuff on Lane Kiffin. Well, Lane better make the playoff or we're going to get on to him. Well, you better say the same shit about Dan Lanning.
Well, Lane Kiffin's been around a lot longer and hasn't succeeded yet.
True, but that's not what people are saying. What people are saying is because he's gone into the portal and got these caliber of guys, he better win now. Well, you better have that same exact energy in reference to Dan Lanning.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not all – I'm like 70% in on what you're getting at because he's only entering year three now of being a head coach. So there's a little bit of grace that
– being at Oregon is different than being at Ole Miss. In my opinion – I mean,
in a good or a bad way, in a way that he's
a good way
to
being in Oregon. I mean, Oregon's got massive amounts more money than Ole Miss does.
Oh, yes. Although I do sometimes question where the heck this Ole Miss money randomly came from.
You want to know where? Let me tell you what Ole Miss has done. Ole Miss sent out a link to their collective and constantly sends out links to their collective. They have nearly 15,000 fans that donate to their collective.
Oh, so they're one of the I'm glad that you're bringing this up. So they're one of the like grassroots collective teams. This isn't a bankrolling by this Phil Knight Daddy's money kind of thing.
I mean, it is. I mean, Ole Miss has got some dudes, but I think that they see the writing on the wall that they have the coach that can bring them there. Mm-hmm. So people are giving, right? I mean,
Alabama was the same way. Alabama doesn't necessarily have like a crazy big donor. Who's their biggest donor that I'm not thinking of? Wait. They don't have a crazy big donor compared to some of the other big names that we know in the donor sphere.
Joe, I love you.
Who am I missing?
If you want to go toe to toe with the Crimson Tide when it comes to spending money, buddy, I'm just going to tell you.
But who's the donor? I'm saying that they've done a good job of like,
you know what? Collective effort. You know what they'll tell you? You don't need to know.
I don't take your word for that.
Listen,
it's a good way of putting it. I mean, you're probably right.
I mean, because listen, I think Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. Clearly, mm-hmm. Wait, you think Nick was getting all that money out of his own pocket?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I guarantee you right now that if Nick Saban picked up the phone and called a booster at Alabama and said, hey, I need $100,000, they would say the following. Do you need it in 20s, 10s? You won't need fives with that?
But you know, like, what I was trying to say is that it's a little bit more spread out. You know, there's no Phil Knight. Who's the Oklahoma State guy that funds their whole athletic department?
I'm not sure.
I forget his name.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, I mean, we'll talk about Auburn. They got Yellowwood, and they got the CEO of Apple. So, I mean.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Tim Cook's a big Auburn guy.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that Tim Cook was a big Auburn guy? Yeah, dude.
Oh, he's from Mobile, Alabama. What?
Yeah, man. Big Auburn guy.
Dude, why? Okay, in all seriousness, I know we're about to get to the break. There, somebody could write like a series, and I don't know why anyone hasn't done this. Like profiling all of the biggest donors. Because I don't know that.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah, that'd be a really interesting piece if somebody did that.
Well, everything's built with Yellowwood. I mean, they're the ones doing it. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to your boy now. If you want to see a team that's about to really start spending money, it's probably when their head coach in football gets fired. Arkansas about to start spending.
Oh, I mean, that was the first thing that popped in my head as soon as Calipari signed. Because Jerry Jones is getting up there, and he's a former player, and I think he could go in the full –
Oh, they don't
need mode where he's like, I want to win. I want to win one before I, you know, I pass on. And
they don't need Jerry though.
I know. Well, I mean, that's the craziest part.
I have two small children. Uh-huh. Here's what their diet consists of: chicken nuggets, and all of them have the labeling Tyson on them. You know why? Because they don't eat any other kind of chicken nuggets. Last night we go out to eat. Right? We go out to eat. Ben, no, I don't want – I'm quoting here. I don't want them Rudy Poo chicken nuggets. My man wants the Tyson chicken nuggets. So I'm just telling
but
you.
But it's Tyson and it's him. It's both of them.
Jerry didn't fund Calipari to get here.
He funded – I saw he funded some of the – or he proposed to the Kentucky players if they want to come that he would pay
Correct. Them to come. John Tyson, he don't give a Rudy Poo. That man wants to win. And by the way – remember in the Calipari introductory press conference, they gave him a standing ovation when they put the camera on him. He stood up, he gave an ovation, and they started playing Chicken Fried by Zach Brown Band.
Hey, look, I like the Arkansas fan base. So I like their
listen to me. You can't be wearing that hat and say that you like the Arkansas fan
base. I've never said this on the show before. My two favorite SEC fan bases is Auburn and it's Arkansas. I don't know why.
Issues.
As an outsider,
you have serious issues. All right. Well, we'll get to talk about one of your Southern schools here. We'll talk about the Auburn Tigers, but we do have some comments. Colin sends a $499 super chat, says, "Eat the hat, Joseph."
Thanks for the $5, Colin. I've known Colin for a while. It's not possible.
Roderick says, "Nice hat, Joe."
Yeah. How many comments of this? How many comments are there? Unless there's a super chat, I don't want to.
I mean, Linda Young says, "You look great in that hat, Joe."
Thanks, Linda. Thank you.
Todd says, "Eat the fucking hat."
This isn't made out of leather. Also, is that a Notre Dame?
Yeah, and it's the Brian Kelly.
It's Brian Kelly. Never mind. It's an LSU fan.
Dane Bergeron says, "Blake, if Joe loses the bet, he has to wear an LSU cheerleader."
The bet's already been lost. I don't understand what.
Blake Morgan says, "Sweet hat."
Okay, let's go to break. How many more of these are you going to pull up? Let's move on. You suck.
Would you like to take this time to apologize to Jaden Daniels publicly?
I'm sorry, Jaden Daniels, for mispredicting where you would be drafted. And in all seriousness, to be fair, you and I had this conversation the other day. I jumped to a conclusion because I was doing a deep dive on Malik Nabers and I was grading him for the draft. And I didn't find out until way later that the SEC championship game, that Jaden Daniels was coming into the game with a serious injury. Like I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that it was his ankle or something along those lines.
Yeah, you should just listen to me.
It is a good lesson for me that I don't want to jump to any conclusions until I've spent the time. Like, I should have watched the rest of Jaden Daniels' games.
You probably should have watched Bama more than Georgia, but I understand what you're saying. I understand. Yeah. All right, let's get rolling. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups on Facebook. Share to all of your social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you are listening to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Good Joe, by the way, tomorrow I'll have a good hat for you if you want to wear. But nevertheless, let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag, where the action happens. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
All right. Let's get this thing rolling. So, Joe, we start our 2024 campaign on deep dives. Let me give a preface to everyone. Last year, we did this for about 30, 32 teams, and they were fantastic. We had a lot of interaction from fans. It was really good to just take one team, look at them, give our opinions. So we start off again. And this time, I'm pretty sure we start off with the same team that we did last year with the Auburn Tigers. Joe, I will kick this off to you. Let's talk about the Auburn Tigers. Where do you see them in 2024?
Yeah, I have been a bullish team or a bullish individual on what Hugh Freeze can do for this team. He has been a coach that has not only found success with lesser talent in some of his stops throughout his coaching career, but he's also been an individual that has done a great job of recruiting and building rosters. I think that the future for Auburn is in great hands. I think that the 2024 recruiting class that they had is an indication that they're going to continue to build. And I think that Walker White in a couple of seasons is going to be a very, very talented quarterback in the SEC. But after I dug deep on Auburn, I think we need to be realistic that the most that they're going to win this season is 8 wins. I think that is a very realistic outcome considering they went 6-7 this past year. They've got a tough schedule. They've got some winnable games. I'm really focused on the fact that I just don't know who the pass catchers for this team are going to be. They have needed, and we talked about it in the winter portal. We talked about it in the spring portal. They needed to get a quarterback to compete with Peyton Thorne, and they needed to get some receivers. I have high expectations for Cam Coleman. I really think that Cam Coleman is going to be an unbelievable player, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's not one of the best freshman wide receivers in the country. Could totally see that happening. But Keandre Lambert-Smith is not a number one guy. And the rest of the receiver group leaves a lot to be desired. I'm just very worried that their passing attack, which was such an issue last year when they ran the ball so damn well, is going to hurt them again. And it's going to hold them back in important games that they'll need to win in order to get past that 8-4 hump.
Why do you think that they weren't as active in pursuing a quarterback?
I don't think they had a lot of options. I think that they tried and they
well let me all right let me rephrase speak. That let me rephrase this quite well I don't agree with that. Let me tell you why. Because tampering is not, you can tamper, right? Like, coaches are out in the public saying about their kids being tampered with. He could have instantly tampered with anybody. Now, I do think he tried to get his quarterback at Liberty. That didn't really
try to get Cam Ward. He tried to get Riley Leonard. They were brought up for a lot of the top quarterbacks.
Right. So him striking out on those guys and continuously not going, do you think that he has any faith in Peyton Thorne? That I don't think Peyton Thorne needs to be, for what Auburn would want to be next year, I don't think he needs to have this Joe Burrow leap.
No.
Right? And I don't think he will. But I'm going to give a little bit of grace to Peyton Thorne. Can I tell you why? I think that it's interesting that, Joe, that we have seen multiple quarterbacks that have started at other places or even that haven't started at other places have a mediocre or average at best first year with a new program, especially when they go into the spring window. I mean, look, you can look at the Heisman Trophy winner from this year and say, well, hey, man, he kind of comes in a little bit late. He's in a system for the first year and then takes a massive jump. I'm not saying Peyton Thorne is going to be that, but I do think that he does do better, Joe, than he did a season ago. That's number one. But they really, really, really attack the portal defensively. They go and get Keyron Crawford, the edge, who had 10.5 tackles for loss last year, 5.5 sacks with 58 tackles. They go and get Isaiah Rakes, who was a rotational player last year for A&M, but I do think is going to be a starter for them and can really rotate along with Phillip Blitty from Indiana. But here's the thing, though. None of those guys that they got on the defensive line, and they got multiple along with Gage Keys, none of those guys really have production. Like Isaiah Rakes doesn't have production. Gage Keys does not have production. The only one is Keyron Crawford. But, Joe, I got to admit something. They're returning three massive pieces defensively. You know, I look at Eugene, the linebacker who had 5 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss. You got McLeod that's returning, who also had 10.5 sack or tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. And then Keldrick Falk, who, Joe, a lot of people are high on for Auburn. I'm not 1,000% certain. I hear what you're saying about offensively. Joe, if I'm a team that's playing Auburn, I don't know if I look at what they've added in the transfer portal along with what they have returning defensively and say to myself, hey, Hugh Freeze is known for what they do on the offensive side of the football. But, man, defensively, I think they could be a little bit scary. The only question I would have for them, Joe, the secondary that they have, no interceptions, under 10 pass breakups in that secondary, which could be scary with an inexperienced secondary because there are going to be times where your secondary or when your front seven has an off day and your secondary, you got to lean on them. But I do think that they have pieces. Jarquez Hunter returns. Cam Coleman's going to be there. I do think they've gotten better. And I do think that the biggest addition that nobody wants to talk about is clearly Percy Lewis from Mississippi State.
Yeah.
The left tackle. So I do think, Joe, that they have gotten better from an overall roster standpoint from a year ago. However, I'm going to say this, and it's going to be such a dud. I could see them being 7-5, 8-4. I could see them getting to 9 wins. Because of the fact, I do think that front seven defensively, Joe, you got three interior defensive linemen. You legitimately now have over 30 sacks. By the way, A&M had the best defensive line in the SEC last year. They were hovering around 45-50 at the end of the year. So you're adding to that. All I'm saying is when you can stop the run and get after the quarterback, look, let me give an example. I think Hugh Freeze is a better coach than Jimbo Fisher in today's world. We saw what a really good front seven that had that much production can do. And it was in every game, Joe. I mean, outside of Miami there at the end, okay, it is what it is. I just look at them and say, man, they got a lot of really good individualized pieces. If they can scheme some things up and just be moderate offensively, I think that their ceiling is 9-3. I do think their floor is 7-5. I think the two games, clearly, okay, that can get them there, they got to split their two rivalry games. If they can split Georgia-Alabama, Joe, I think they're cooking with grease, and then you go into a year three and you're like, hey, man, Auburn might have something here.
I don't think they're going to split those games. The games that I highlighted,
they can beat Alabama.
Alabama still has a very, very good roster. They're not.
Oh, they almost beat them a season ago. Like, what are we discussing here? By the way, They almost
bring that, wait, that was goofy as hell.
That was every year. Joe, I know that the DJ game Finley almost beat Bryce Young. Like what? What?
But okay, you were even just about to say that game gets goofy as hell. Just because that game is close does not, and they should have won, doesn't mean anything for the upcoming season. Anything can happen in that game. So I don't really, the point.
You can't make a determination that they can't split it then.
They're definitely not beating Georgia. They're definitely not beating Georgia. They caught Georgia off guard with a lot of injuries last year. That's not going to happen.
I never said that they would. I said they need to split it.
I think that the games that save them are Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. If they come out with two wins against any of those three teams.
Hold on now. They ain't beating Kentucky. Hot take. They're not beating Kentucky.
But that's why I'm IDing those three games. If you win two of them, you go 8-4.
I mean, I gave them a pretty high ceiling here. I mean, look, Auburn is right, Joe, I'm telling you now, you can't convince me. You cannot convince me at this current moment that there name a defense not named Georgia right now in the SEC, not portal additions, that have three defensive dudes that are returning that have been that are this good.
I don't know off the top of my head, like three defensive dudes, but I think that Kentucky's defensive.
But those guys are coming in from the portal, though. They had to have
all of them are.
Joe, Kentucky does not have returning.
Okay.
15 sacks.
Look, I think, though, that what's important to acknowledge here, yes, there is talent coming back on their front seven. But the two biggest strengths for them last year that helped them go 6-6 in the regular season, almost beat Alabama, play Georgia close, be the annoying team in the SEC last year that was putting up a fight when nobody expected them to. Might I remind everyone, I was one of the few people who said that they were capable of going 500. Everyone said that they were going to be terrible last year. That front seven, their defensive line, and their run game were the two biggest strengths. They, to take another step forward, needed to add to their receiving core. They needed to improve in the passing game. And also, you mentioned it, they're losing Nyheim Pritchett, they're losing Jalen Simpson, and they're losing DJ James. That's three important. That secondary
is very inexperienced. And let me tell you this, Joe. They are going to have to – so to your point, their strengths, they're going to have to lean in on those massively.
But this is why I'm fearful is not the word I'm going for, but
you're hesitant.
I'm extremely hesitant, and I've been a supporter of Auburn and Hugh Freeze. And again, I thought that this hire was fantastic, but to see what a lot of other teams have done around Auburn, they're just not there yet. That's all I'm trying to get at. I'm not saying that they're going to stink and they're going to get embarrassed. That's not at all what I'm trying to say here. There's other teams that I think that are far more inept and pathetic than Auburn is in the SEC. I just think that with the way that Kentucky looks right now, with the way that even Texas A&M looks really good right now, Oklahoma has made moves and we're giving them no shot to succeed early on, but they're still going to be a competitive football team. There's just too many other teams, I think, around them that are far more balanced, have a better starting quarterback, have better receivers, just better general depth. It is hard to turn around Auburn as quickly as Hugh Freeze is trying to do it, when Brian Harsin set him up with such a shitty roster.
It's not an excuse anymore, though.
But the whole complete like portal attack, like rebuild thing, we have agreed is not like a definitive fix your team strategy.
Correct. However, you can't have so when the portal really became a massive thing, you had three coaches that headlined the coaching carousel. Brent Venables. Okay, went 6-6. Now, can he be Brent Venables and go 9-3? Let's see. You had Lincoln Riley that got to a Pac-12 championship game with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And then you had Brian Kelly that won the SEC West. Now, I could make the argument that Brian Kelly had a worse situation than what really Hugh Freeze had at Auburn. I mean, Brian Kelly legitimately went into a building, Joe, that and he did not. I mean this, like, he had two defensive players that were returning. Two. He had 39 scholarship players.
Look, I mean, we don't need to do the whole whose situation was worse thing. Auburn is still it's going to take time for them to improve and to get better to a competitive spot. You froze. Can you hear me? Am I frozen or are you frozen? I can't tell whose side it up. Oh, yeah, it's Blake. All right. Well, Blake's going to come back in a second. Well, now I can take shots while he's not here. The whole issue with Auburn, though, that I'm trying to illustrate while we wait for Blake to load back in. They are just not in the same position as some of these other programs that we're about to talk about. They have a lot of talent coming back on their defensive line, as Blake has pointed out. Peyton Thorne, I think, is the biggest catalyst in all this. And I feel as though it's really easy to sit here and criticize him and say that he's not good enough to play in the SEC. But Blake brought up a really good point. Second year for a guy who's played at another school coming into a program with a good offensive leadership, a good offensive game plan. I'd be willing to put money on, if there's a way to bet, on just a guy improving, a guy getting better. Peyton Thorne is that type of guy who has the athleticism. He's very undervalued as an athlete, as somebody who can run. He ran all over Alabama. He took over in that Alabama game as a runner, not so much as a passer. He works well with Jarquez Hunter. It just, for them to be 9-3, like Blake is saying, doesn't need to be the whole Joe Burrow ascension, complete takeover, become a Heisman Trophy candidate. But he's got to push himself into the top fifth of SEC quarterbacks. Top fourth is probably a little too high. But he needs to be in that conversation of being an important reason why they win. Because right now, I look at their receiver room, and I just don't see enough talent for them to considerably and easily move the ball. They had so much trouble throwing the ball last year. Keandre Lambert-Smith had so many inconsistencies last season. And we can't just expect him to step in. They clearly were desperate enough at receiver to take a guy like him. He is not a premier number one guy. All right, there we go. You froze and you were completely like frozen face. And I thought that I was just talking about Peyton Thorne. And I was saying that I think that he is given far too much criticism. And I think that the way that you explained doesn't need to be Joe Burrow, doesn't need to go off on some ridiculous run. But he needs to push himself into the top fifth of quarterbacks in the SEC. He needs to be in that upper conversation, and it makes sense for it to happen. Good offensive head coach. No, you're good. Good offensive head coach in his second year with a team with a lot of snaps under his belt at another school. That stuff works.
I do think that Peyton Thorne is actually a better athlete than we give him credit for.
You said the same exact thing. He's a very good player. He ran for I want to get his total against Alabama, but he had a great game.
He ran for over 500 yards. He was their second leading rusher last year. Right? Like, and guys, my lights went out. I don't know what happens here. But the bill is paid.
He had 57 yards rushing against Alabama.
I think it was the Georgia game, wasn't it, that he ran for a little bit more. I think he got to the outside.
He was 5-for-16 for 91 yards against Alabama.
I think those what we would need to look at is, because those sacks get taken out in rushing yards, what is his net total rushing yards?
Right.
So that would give you a clear understanding.
92 against Georgia.
Yeah, that was the game that he really kind of showed. And if you can run on them, you can run on anybody. Joe, I think this is to your point. Let me add on to this. I get mad when I do it to myself. That's why I'm not as super critical on quarterbacks as most people are. I think that, Joe, let me give you a couple of guys that are examples, okay? I look at Brady Cook year one to year two. You can say what you want, but the kid improved. I look at guys like Stetson Bennett. He improved. Burrow, Daniels. Those dudes were on different levels. But I can name quarterbacks every single year that a lot of people are out on. Graham Mertz, okay? Like, Graham Mertz legitimately was a guy that, and I'm not taking a shot at you.
I know.
I'm just saying that we got to be a little bit more lenient when it comes to a guy going into a new system. It's a big deal, right? Like, it's a massive deal when a guy has another year. Now, is he going to light the world up? No, I don't. I don't think that he will. But here's another truth. He, compared to what Peyton Thorne had a year ago, so I talked a lot about the offensive side of the ball. What Peyton Thorne had a year ago to work with on the outside isn't remotely even close to the talent that he has now.
Lambert, are you going off of Lambert Smith and Cam Williams? Is that what you're going off of? Cam Coleman, sorry.
Joe, both of those dudes are better than what he had. A ketchup packet and a taco hot sauce on both boundaries. Okay, he had a packet of mustard in the slot. Okay, there's a reason guys like Coy Moore are hitting the portal. Okay, I'm just saying we got to look at it in a totality too. And look, I think they're going to be better in the running game. I think they're going to be better along their offensive line. Here is, and I will say this. Okay. I am going to question Auburn fans, the ones that really know. I think at the end of the year last year, there were some things that went on with that team. That's why their DC moved on. Okay. There was some dysfunction. So, as high as I am on Hugh Freeze, and you know how much I love him as a play caller, there are things for me that I do wonder. Like, hey, man, if you ended the year like that last year and you had coaches leaving, how is that culture being formed? And look, people, Joe, I legitimately, and we'll talk about this in the portal. If you have a good culture, I will rate you higher than some more talented teams. Right? Like it's just how I roll. So we'll see. What else do we need to or finish on the Auburn Tigers here?
The last take that I had is in relation to what you just said with Cam Coleman. I think that Peyton Thorne's improvement is important. Cam Coleman, in order for me to feel better about their offense, he needs to have like a freshman All-American type season. And I don't even truly know if he contributes, but he's better than a lot of the guys that they have in that receiver room. So he should. But what I'm getting at here, if he has a freshman All-American type year, that's where the 9-3 comes into play. That's where the...
I think that's their ceiling, right? Like, I think it's their ceiling. And listen, I don't know, with better offensive line play and Hugh calling plays, okay, I don't know if they're just not going to be better offensively. Look, I'm not out on Peyton Thorne. I'm going to be... I know that Peyton Thorne has gotten a lot of criticism for a lot of people. I'm not out on him. Look, I'm old enough to remember now, Peyton Thorne did lead the Michigan State team to being highly competitive, right? Like, we saw him, okay, at Michigan State, and I thought they were getting a really good quarterback, to be honest. When he has things around him, go pop on the Michigan State film the year that – what was the year, Joe? They won 10 games with Mel Tucker. Okay, what did he have? The running back
– Coleman, Walker.
Keon Coleman and
Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker that's with the Seahawks, right?
Yep.
So an established running game and a bona fide number one. It's not like the Big Ten sucks. I mean, now they got boat raced by Ohio State. Okay, like it is what it is. But regardless, if he's got pieces around him, are we going to get the Peyton Thorne that can be serviceable? Or are we going to beat the Peyton Thorne that won't be? That's the ultimate question. In reference to your thoughts on Cam Coleman, what do you think I'm about to say? I'm going to let you say what you think I'm about to say.
He's a freshman.
Bingo.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I hold no expectations for freshmen, ever. The only one, I made one exception in my career. One. The only person that I've ever done that for was Trevor Lawrence. Ever. Because I think he was on, it was just a different situation. He had everything built around him. Clemson was rolling. I'm not doing that for Cam Coleman. Now, can he come in and be like a guy like Evan Stewart was, that was highly regarded? Yeah. You know, sure. You know, but I'm just not going to put that much weight on him year one. I just can't. I cannot do it.
All right, that's fair.
All right. I'm going to get to the transfer portal.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I like deep dives, massive pause, but I like when we go deep into teams.
Well, we've got 30-ish more that we got to get to.
Yeah, it's very true. All right. Joey had this week some transfer portal news, and we actually just got another one because Matt Zenitz, who continues to just throw out transfer portal bombs, just announced that Wake Forest cornerback Deshaun Jones is going to Alabama. He's not the only big-time transfer portal name that is out there, but also we have guys like Simeon Barrow going to Miami, Demonic Williams going to Oklahoma. You have Harmon and Woodyard going to Oregon. Where would you like to start in some of the big things happening here?
I think that the two biggest ones, first of all, Demonic Williams to Oklahoma is very important because they were a team that they needed to add talent to the interior of their defensive line. I think that they're doing really good at edge, and I think that they're going to have some really disruptive guys coming off the edge, but they needed some bodies in the interior. But the fact that Oregon's defensive line, we were in such awe of it during their spring game, adds another big physical Big Ten defensive tackle, and Derek Harmon to rotate in amongst that group is enormous. And then the same thing goes for Miami. We talked about how physical Miami was going to be up front and that Simeon Barrow is now going to be playing amongst them. I really think that Simeon Barrow is very gifted. He is a very low to the ground, get underneath you type of a defensive tackle that is going to be disruptive. His impact may not be felt statistically as much as some other guys, but that is a really, really awesome ad. And I think that Miami continues to just build themselves up into one of these teams that we've said will be in the national championship conversation. I said this last year, my three teams were Washington, it was Michigan, and it was Florida State that I thought were going to be in there. And this year, it's Oregon, it's Miami, and it's Georgia.
Let me start with Oregon here. They're the number two team in the country in adding pieces from the portal. You know, you forget about Evan Stewart, Joe. It's funny. We had this conversation when we talked about their spring game. You somewhat forget that Evan Stewart transferred there.
Yeah.
But they have added serious talent. You could bring in Evan Stewart, Dante Moore, Jabbar Muhammad at corner, who I thought – I'm going to give you a hot take. I don't know if he was in this year's NFL draft. I could easily make the case that I thought that kid was the number one corner. Just my opinion. What he did against who's your boy for Texas?
Worthy.
No, well, Worthy, yes. But the other one, because he had the big pass breakup.
A.D. Mitchell.
Against A.D. Mitchell. He made massive plays. And by the way, had the massive breakup against Oregon's number one wide receiver last year, Franklin.
Yeah.
So they go and get Jabbar Muhammad. Also, they get Caldwell from Houston, adding another defensive lineman into that mix, and then adding Harmon to a defensive line that was already big. All right. And they get Woodyard too. In reference to Oregon, Joe, I'm glad they added a lot of these defensive pieces. Defense does win championships. Just ask Michigan, just ask Georgia. I still, though, and I know that there wasn't probably an offensive lineman that they have could have gone and got in the spring portal. I still have issues in that interior of that offensive line. Oh, well, Blake, their D-line is real good. Our D-line is really good. Joe, you're going to face, if you're Oregon, you're going to face really good defensive lines.
Florida State had issues in the interior of their offensive line, and look how far that they got.
It's a completely different beast, though, being in the ACC versus being in the Big Ten.
My point is that nobody has a perfect roster.
True, but it's still a concern.
Okay.
Joe, they're going to face Michigan and Ohio State, correct?
Yeah, they will.
Okay. So you're legitimately, which could be your two losses, because of that one position. I can make the argument that Michigan, okay, and Ohio State, legitimately, their strongest position is that interior of their defensive line. Am I wrong?
It is.
Okay.
I think that they're going
to beat Michigan to clear the record. Okay. But I'm just saying.
They're talented enough, I think, the type of team that they're going to find ways to succeed outside of that issue. And I don't think that the interior of their offensive line is as bad as you're saying.
We came in here after that spring game on Sunday and said that they got pushed around. Did we not?
Okay, but if you're going up against a really good defensive line, it ends up being one of those cases. They're going to face
a lot of really good defensive lines.
Well, they've got fall camp to get ready to deal with those guys.
And they're going to have 3 months ain't going to change shit.
They're going to have plenty of reps to get ready for facing the guys that they're going to have.
Mark my words, I think defensively they're going to be a top 8 defense. I really believe that they're that good. They're going to have serious issues in struggling running up the middle. Serious issues.
But they're a team that doesn't need to run up
the middle. I don't give a – Joe.
Dude, this is literally Washington all over again. This is Washington all over again. You're going to talk about how soft that they are.
Who was right in the end? Who was right in the end?
I was, because you said they weren't even going to get to the playoff. They got to the national championship game. Okay, you didn't even give them enough grace to get them that far. Every week you said they shouldn't be a top 10 team.
By Michigan, and you knew that they weren't ready for that. Joe, they're going into the Big Ten, though. This is a different beast. They're not playing Rudy Putek every other week. All right.
I think that this portal haul. Joe,
they're not built offensively to beat Ohio State right now. I'm sorry. They're not.
I don't agree with that. I think that game is 2 years ago. They weren't.
You know what's ironic? They both have the same issue.
They do. And 2 years ago, when Oregon was not built to beat Ohio State, they did. They embarrassed Ohio State. That was when CJ Verdell ran all over them.
Ohio State still got to a playoff game the following year, and Oregon couldn't win the Pac-12.
What's the point? You're talking. That's not what we're talking about.
We're going to talk about one game 3 years ago.
I'm just pulling up an example where
Dan Lanning wasn't the head coach.
All I'm trying to do is pull up an example where
name that offensive coordinator. Who was the coordinator for Oregon?
Who was it?
It was your boy, the head coach at Akron, Moorhead.
Oh,
deep.
My point is that both of these both of these rosters are close enough where it's going to be a competitive game, and I think that Oregon is good enough and veteran enough to come out of it.
Oh, okay. This is what I was going to say before I got cut off. I agree with you that they're going to be a really good team, but maybe it's just my mind is just stupid. But when I look at teams like Oregon, if we're going to nitpick the top six, we got to nitpick the top six. Because I put Oregon in a class with the elite. If they're going to get there, then I'm going to nitpick you like I nitpick Georgia, like I nitpick, not right now, but like we did with Alabama, with Saban. Joe, I do think when you put a team like that, you got – and look, we talked about the interior offensive line at Florida State.
Yeah.
Do you think Florida State would have had the same success in the Big Ten last year?
They probably would have lost one or two games.
Okay. So, again
– this Oregon roster is better than that Florida State roster was, though.
I need to think on that. I don't want to say that you're wrong, but I also don't want to say that you're right. I would need to think on that.
Okay.
Okay, but Boy, Florida State fans already hate us already.
For no reason, man. God forbid we're realistic.
Yes, indeed. All right. My thoughts going to Miami. Adding Simeon Barrow continues, Joe, to add another piece in a position where it's hard for me not to look at Miami and say that they don't have the talent to be there at the end. It's really difficult for me, Joe, not to look at just their talent and say they could win the ACC. Mario is a recruiting genius, man. You got to give it to him. The only problem is he going to coach himself into a loss or two or three?
I know it feels really redundant at this point to keep bringing up Mario.
And but we
yes, it is completely justified to keep bringing him up. But to move past that, it feels like every time that they add a kid, we talk about, oh, this is the final piece. No, this is the final piece. They keep adding more and more to this roster. They're one of the few teams I look at them, and I don't really totally know where the hole is. And maybe the argument's depth. I think that like might be they the only thing I could bring up.
A lot of young guys leave.
Yeah.
But they've added the only more thing. In the portal, though. I mean.
Yeah, but we know portal depth, though. When you bring in portal depth, it's, you know, you need cohesion with your depth. You need guys that you're talking about culture earlier. You need guys that are.
I agree with that.
A part of the program, not stepping
Simeon
in.
Simeon Barrow might be a rotational piece.
Which is nuts. That's what stands out the most to me on how good they're going to be defensively.
Right. Like you could put in Simeon Barrow, Joe, and Downs 1 and 2, and then you got real athletes coming in there to get after the passer.
Yeah.
I think Florida, as crazy as this is going to sound, I do think Florida's – it's going to show a lot. Okay, now I don't think Florida's any good, but it's difficult to go in the swamp and win. And if you can go on the road in week one and be not only competitive, but win and win convincingly, you start getting momentum in Miami. So, look, we'll see. Demonic Williams, I know you mentioned him first, but let's go there.
Yeah.
Re-say what you said, Oklahoma, they needed bodies in the interior. Look, man, I mean, Venable, Oklahoma, let me tell you what Oklahoma is right now. They're the team in the SEC no one talks about. No one.
People forget that they're even in the SEC, it feels like.
Yeah, because everybody wants to talk about Texas. But, Joe, I'm not. Demonic Williams, let me tell you about, well, I'm going to leave that alone. I think he's a good player. I think they added a really good player. And I think defensively they're going to be good. Okay, they added a lot of offensive linemen, a lot, and had to go in the portal and add a lot of offensive linemen. Are you 1,000% sure that Jackson Arnold is ready to get them where they want to go?
That'll be the biggest question mark that we have. But I think outside of this, their defense has a lot of talent all over it. You know, we forget Peyton Bowen's on that defense. Adebuare, who's a young player who's going to be rotational for them and maybe even steps up even bigger, is somebody who I have high expectations for. Desam McCullough was playing a little out of position, I believe, last year, and there's hope that he can really hit his full ceiling. There are a lot of dudes on that defense, but the interior of their defensive line was a huge question mark. And they need to be Venable, they need to be a Clemson-esque defense for Venables. For them to stay within range of how good they were last year,
I agree.
9-3 to be in that conversation of
I don't think maybe, they can that schedule
it's a tough schedule
brutal.
I think 8-4 is on the table here though. Like I think 8-4 is doable for them, and Demonic Williams helps them because that is a Clemson type defensive tackle, just a big, you know, big physical mean body.
Right, Joe, they might be the best 8-4 team in the country. And it continues to go to my point.
Yeah.
Oklahoma would run all over Tulane. You know, like if it was a serious matchup, like a not like a big bowl game, playoff, eliminator, and let's just say Tulane's there at the end, they're going to clap the ever-living cheeks out of Tulane.
Yeah.
Okay? So, again, I just think that schedule is very brutal. One last thing before we get to Washington here at the end. You want to get to LSU missing?
Yeah, I mean, that is, I mean, it's brutal. That it seems like every portal opening, there's a lot of talk about them being aggressive and them being able to go and fill these needs and bring in premier players. And I don't know, man. I feel like they always keep falling short. And I'm not trying to sit here and shit on y'all, but it feels like LSU keeps falling short and they needed any of these three guys.
I don't disagree with that for this portal window. I do think from a national perspective. Okay, now, the other night on a post game, I went live and from a Baton Rouge perspective went viral on me going stupid. I think LSU is disorganized. I think that they have the money. I think that they've shown, not only in football, but in baseball and in other sports, women's basketball, Joe, they're going to spend a shitload of money. You got, I'm just going to throw out a couple. Joe, Angel Reese. You think she obviously was the number one, one of the top players or athletes when it came to NIL. Why do you think that that was? Because everything she touched, people made money. Same with Livy Dunn. Oh, by the way, there was a guy named Paul Skeens. And we're talking about baseball and no expenses were how do I want to say this? They paid, all right? Mm. And that's baseball. I think LSU is in a place where they have the money and they will spend it. I don't think they're organized enough or are all in cohesion and in alignment enough to make those type of trigger pulls. There were multiple rumors that Demonic Williams wanted and got about 1.5. And I'm going to say this. You had a player in Demonic Williams who had a handler slash agent that was on social media. He used very graphic things to make fun of Eli Drinkwitz, LSU, and a lot of teams. When you're that fucking petty, it comes. Pettiness bites you in the ass. You better go out there and dominate. However, it doesn't solve LSU's issues. They're going to have to go to a 3-3-5. And can I tell you a little secret that LSU fans are pissed and they have every right to be? Can I tell you a little secret? Joe, I don't know if in the long run, it doesn't benefit them. Even this year, I think they're going to put another linebacker on and go to a 3-3-5. It's going to help them because they need it. Mm. But I don't tell LSU fans in here, don't listen to what I just said because we got to get mad and go back to AYS. So don't listen to what I just said. Okay. But I do think it forces that. Here's the thing about LSU. It's the same thing when Burrow and them won a national title. Don't piss this fan base off. When this fan base gets pissed off, 2019 happens. Okay? LSU baseball last year in a national championship happens. Kim Mulkey happens. I will just caution. When they're pissed off, shit starts flying and money starts coming from everywhere. It might be in the long run what's best for this program.
Yeah, but I mean, I get all of that, and you're going to be a lot more ear to the ground with being able to provide that context. But like at the end of the day,
from the outside looking in,
I really do not think that they have any of the interior defensive line talent.
They don't. They do not.
No, they're 9-3 team next year.
Probably
deep dive coming, but 9-3. I felt a lot better about them coming into last year, and I was bullish on how y'all were going to be.
Jaden Daniels, and you had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and we'll
a lot of question marks.
A lot of question marks. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and finish it out, wrap it up with the Washington spring game. We are back next. Stay with us.
Rufino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best without a doubt premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, Ruffino Joe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
By the way, you're in LA. You're not doing anything for Cinco de Mayo?
It's a Sunday. A work day. And? It's a work day.
Sundays aren't work days.
It is for me. Do you know how much work I do on Sundays?
You know,
I don't have time to dick around.
That's funny. Let me tell you something that's funny. I tell my family that all the time, and they don't believe me. They're like, you don't have a show. And I'm like, you do realize that I – can I tell you what the biggest misconception about content creators is? Yeah. They literally think I just come in here and turn a camera on. Not my family, but some people do. I'm like, you don't understand the prep that goes into this.
It's a lot of notes. There's a lot of the graphics, a lot of shit that's got to get made. No, I say my family, friends, no, they don't. None of them get it.
None of them get it. Washington had their spring game this weekend. Joe, what were your thoughts on the Huskies in the new regime out in Seattle?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, expectations need to be tampered for Washington. They're not going back to the national championship game. It is going to take a little bit before Jed Fish is able to turn this team in the direction that he's trying to build it. It really stood out to me how physical their running backs were, Muhammad and Ngata. Both of them ran the ball really well. Their whole running back room, very physical, big body guys. I think that they're going to be very different in that position in the offensive philosophy of trying to be super downhill. I thought that Vincent Holmes, who was one of their defensive backs, had a really nice game. Desmond Williams, who is their backup quarterback, who is a true freshman, is erratic as hell, but he's fun as hell to watch. Last thing. Watch out for Denzel Boston. I've heard that before this game, and then in the game, he took over it. Wide receiver, he's a sophomore, I believe. He looks really freaking good. He might be the next talented Washington receiver. He might go for like 1,000 yards. He looked really freaking good in this game.
I am going to say this, and I think that Washington fans are going to absolutely have a cow. I don't think they're going to be as far off as people think that they are, mainly due to the fact of what you did bring in at quarterback, bottom line. I think Will Rogers got put in a very shit situation, and he made chicken salad out of chicken shit last year. None of that was on him. The stuff that he had going on at Mississippi State was absolutely freaking abysmal. With all that being said, I actually, believe it or not, am a little worried that defensive schematics is more built NFL-wise than it is college football.
Yeah.
It was a little bit what is the right word to say here?
Overcomplicated?
Thank you. For a spring game. You know, like, what are you rotating safeties for? And then why are you rotating to then show cover two? Then you go into cover three. Like, I get that you're trying to take the reps and you're trying to do different things. You're going man v man. Then you're going to a cover two, like right before the snap. I really don't know. I think it might be a little overcomplicated, but here's what I do know. They're going to be coached the hell up. I do like their coaching staff.
Yeah,
I do think that they got some really good pieces that, you know, look, I might be a little bit more bullish on them than some will be. I just think that they're a couple of years away.
Yeah, I mean, we forget how what it kind of takes for them to get back where they are when a new coach.
And they might not be able to. And that's not a slight at them. I mean, like, you're going into a new conference, Joe, with better teams.
Well, and people also forget, too, the amount of coaching turnover they've had. It was Bruce Peterson, it was Lake, then it was DeBoer, and now we're on Jed Fish. I mean, that is a lot of roster turnover. It's a lot of philosophical culture turnover. That wears you down. I think Jed Fish is good enough of a coach, as we saw in this game, to put out a competent product. That is, and it's probably the worst tagline to ever put on a spring game.
Washington football, competent product. But that's what they were. I don't think they're going to have any issues. I don't think they're going to make any dumb mistakes. I don't know if they're good enough to beat the premier teams in the conference this upcoming year. That's where I stand.
I'm 100% with you. I will say, other than last year, if you take it out because – well, actually, you could put last year in against Fish and Arizona when Mississippi State beat Arizona. Look, man, I know I get roasted on these shows during the offseason about takes like this. I'm telling you, do not sleep on Will Rogers. Joe, they might be 3-3, 4-2, and he goes into a game and throws for 450. Don't do it. Joe, I've seen this kid for 3 years do it. Don't do it.
He was in an air raid.
What do you think that they're about to do?
They're not. Jed Fish is an air raid coach.
Joe, they ran more stick and air raid principles offensively. PFF had them at 6.
They're not.
I get what you're saying. They're not a full bent, full blown air raid attack.
I think that last year is more indicative of when you remove the aggressive air them out type of strategy. And last year he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had 5 games under 200 passing yard. He had 1 game against South Carolina where he threw 47.
But they had games like LSU, though, Joe. They ran 12 personnel, I formation, 22 personnel. And then the next week they come out in a full air raid and they're trying to throw the ball all over the place. It's not fair to Will Rogers.
Yeah, that is fair. I will concede that he's getting jerked around.
What was his stats in 22?
I mean, the stats in 22 are going to be disgusting. He
this is more of what you're going to get.
301, 357, 406 versus Arkansas, 409 versus Bowling Green, 450 versus Memphis. Yeah, I mean, he's got it in him. I know that he's got it in him.
Rhythm and timing. Rhythm.
What bucket he falls in for me? And I'm sorry to do this.
Edson Bennett.
No, he falls into the Graham Mertz, Tyler Van Dyke bucket of guys that I don't.
He's not as bad as Tyler Van Dyke. You stop that right now. Stop that right now.
I'm not taking that back.
Joe.
I just don't think he's very good. I think he's fine. For their needs.
Will Rogers is average, maybe at times in a game, he can be above average. Tyler Van Dyke is Dookie Bourbon Street ass chew water. He is ass. Don't put them in the same. Don't do that.
I think that Will Rogers is the epitome of average.
Tyler Van Dyke is below average. Remember during A&M, yes, they were calling him Tyler Van Dyke.
That still has to be, and it is another one of my lessons from last year. I'm not moving off of a take that I have until I have enough evidence.
Tyler Van Dyke, baby.
That was one of the best takes that I had all last year, is because he stunk, and then the Miami fans hated him after he started stinking.
And then they hated you, remember?
And then here I am, popping you guys up.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
All right. We will see y'all again on Tuesday, not Monday. During the season, we'll be Monday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, Joe, good show. I'm proud of you for sticking to your word, being a man of your word.
Whole summer, I got to wear this hat.
Never disrespect Jane Daniels. Listen, this is what I would do if I were you. I would go over to betonline.ag and place maybe like a $50, $75 bet on him.
Don't steal my take. I've said that take on multiple guest appearances. I've said it on Hack City. Don't steal my take.
Oh, well. Look at you coming around to Jaden Daniels.
End the show.
I mean, okay. We'll see y'all on Tuesday, man.
All right, later.